4, 7 through 12. Is it close enough?
There you go.
Closer?
That's good.
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world, so that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. Great job. Now I'm nervous. Okay. Brooke Self, which one do you want? The chicken, the grandma, or the bad band? Grandma. Good answer. Grandma. So many times we think about God as being up there, right? That's an understanding of God being way up there. And we come here and we try to kind of get God's attention and see if God will come down and bless us with something, right? Some gift or some request that we have. But there are different understandings of God and the process theology understanding of God. I think if I were to have a stained glass window in my church, it would be this picture of Grandma. Grandma, 90 years old. This was 5 years ago. Down in a box. And I have a video of this. And she is with Emerson, my granddaughter.
I'm not filming. I forgot to film.
I think that's it.
She'll go in.
Okay, where are you going to put Grandma Emerson?
In the garbage.
In the garbage? Goodness. Okay.
Grandma's a trooper.
Now we've got to say, Emerson.
She must like you.
Emerson, now we've got to go Shazam, Shazam. Out goes great grandma.
Out goes great grandma.
Poor grandma, she can't even get up.
Okay, great grandma is, oh wow, look at her. She's up. Help her, you guys. Emerson, go help her.
Go help great grandma.
Go help her up. Gotta give her encouraging words. You gotta say, you can do it, grandma.
She can see help up. Anyway. Okay, that's good enough. She gets up, yes.
So what is this understanding of God? I mean, how can this possibly be an image of God? But if we think about the incarnation, if we think about Jesus, God's Son, coming down, being sent down to the earth, and down to the lowest part of the earth, the manger, right? I mean, in the birth story, it's the manger, the lowest, as low as you can get. This is an image not of just what happens in incarnation, but the way God always is. Jesus changed the way we see Jesus and God. God is not way up there anymore. God has come down to be with us, just like my mother did. Did you notice how excited Emerson was to have her grandma come down on the ground with her? I mean, grandmas, you know, do that, but 90-year-old grandmas usually sit on a chair and kind of look down there and go, oh, yeah, you're cute. But no, grandma came down to be with Emerson, and there was a different relationship that Emerson had with her great-grandma in that moment. And that is what Jesus does for us. Jesus changes our understanding of where God is. God has emptied God's self down here in the ground. And what is God asking us to do? God is losing some of God's power by doing that. Anytime you come down, right? You know, anytime a coach becomes a friend, anytime a parent comes down to be a friend, we lose some of that power and that respect. But God is willing to do that because God wants to collaborate with us. God believes that the way to save this world, to make this world a better place, is God needs us and wants us. So God comes down and kind of lures us in to becoming a part of the story. Did you notice how Emerson joined in, right? Lured in like that? That's what God is doing. And God isn't complete, just like great-grandma isn't complete, until that other we come and start playing with God, collaborating with God to make a better world. We're not complete until, as Marge told me the other day, that Ted always went to where people were. He always went to where they were, right? We're not complete until we do that in our lives. We're not complete until this church becomes like God, getting low enough and going to where people are. That's how our ministry happens. So there's number one. No, we only have two left. What do we want? Anybody want the chicken, or who wants the band or the chicken, Adrian? The chicken. Yeah, I knew you would be the chicken guy. Okay. Crazy study in Purdue. Upside down. Yeah, that's pretty much this sermon. So Purdue did this study on chickens. And did you know all chicken gatherings, groups of chickens, have a star performer? A chicken that lays more eggs than everybody else. Sometimes like 12 or 13 a day versus one or two, some of these star performers. But they've done research about these star performers, and one of the ways they become more prolific than the rest of their bunch is they pick on them. And they peck on them, and they intimidate them so that they won't produce more. All right? So this study in Purdue, they took a group of star performers, all these kind of, they called them the red group, the red chickens, and they put them all in a group, and they reproduced that group for five generations. And then they took all the collaborators, right? All the ones who didn't fight with each other. And they put them in a group. They called that the green group. And they reproduced that group for five generations. It takes about a year for chickens to get five generations. And guess what happened? The green group just went nuts. They laid more eggs, 300% more eggs by the end of those generations. 300%! Amazing. And the star performers over here, the great, wonderful star performers, they killed each other. Seriously. They killed each other. Half of them were murdered. Can you believe that? That is nuts, right? And so this study tells us something a little bit about who we are. No, I'm not saying that star performers always murder each other, but this guy goes on in his TED Talk to talk about how many of us live in environments that promote the star performer. We're in this very vicious, competitive world where the star performer is always lifted up as higher and the others are often picked on and pecked on. And how hard it is for us to live in a community like that. And what this guy says is that almost all of us, even in our church communities, this kind of dynamic lives. There are star producers, performers, and some of them maybe don't pick on others, but they have ways of pushing others down. So how do we figure this out? If you remember my first story, God comes down to earth for what? To collaborate with us, right? Collaboration. So we are a people who are called to collaborate with each other. Not to peck on each other, but to collaborate, right? So guess what the number one problem that prevents collaboration in groups like ours, human groups? It's not the star performer necessarily. It's defensiveness. We get so defensive. And as soon as we get defensive, you know, he says, it's just like we go crazy. I mean, we lose ourselves. We just lose ourselves because we can't collaborate if we're defensive about something, right? So I was thinking about this because then I'm going to go on to, let me get to three, the dysfunctional band. And I don't know how to say this, Lance or Alex or anybody, almost all praise bands are dysfunctional. Because they have the star performer mentality. So I want to talk about this band I was working with. And there were two college kids. They were girls in the band, and they loved to sing. But they weren't that good. But we only had one good mic. So we had one good mic, and then we had another one that wasn't quite as good. And these two gals just fought over the good microphone. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then when they got there and they sang in the band, they oversang. It was like they were battling back and forth and back and forth. You know, you've heard it probably before in your life. And it was just driving everybody nuts. But we couldn't do anything. Why? Because we were afraid that if we said anything, they would get too defensive, right? We thought we would hurt their feelings. And so we didn't say anything, and then we just stayed this dysfunctional, ridiculous band for 3 years. And I thought about this in my own life. If we're going to be collaborators, right, we've got to get down on the ground. Well, what's getting down on the ground all about? Getting rid of your defensiveness. You're not so hot. You're not so great, right? I mean, you just got to come down and believe that what you're working for as a group is more important than your ego. So I was listening to this guy, and I was thinking to myself, Brooke, what is your number one problem in your life? I'm defensive. I get defensive. I mean, I don't know why it is, but I do. I just am. I'm kind of a star performer sometimes. You know, I want to be great. And so if somebody criticizes, just ask Cindy, if I ever ask, for instance, well, what'd you think of the sermon? She has learned never to say the truth because I get defensive. I mean, I just do. And so I've tried to learn how I can kind of unplug that a little bit, right? And just get down lower so that I can get rid of the defensiveness so that if I'm doing something that's preventing the group from collaborating, that we can collaborate. And so now, I want to call you to collaboration because I do believe that the greatest eclipse of what God wants us to do and be is us collaborating with each other, us working together with God to change the world. And we need this collaboration because I believe in the midst of that collaboration, that's where God is present. So I want you to think for a moment, what is one project you have done where you have felt collaboration working? And what did it feel like? to be in collaboration with someone else. And I want to share you my moment. And it was a collaboration with 950 people. We were all in sync. We were all together. We were all trying to do something for the world, and we were singing. I was in an all-state choir in South Dakota, and South Dakota did it so much different than any other state, their all-state choir. They didn't have an audition. They had four singers for every school, or if you were a bigger school, you got 8 or 16 or whatever. So, but every school had a quartet that came to this thing. I mean, it was really quite amazing. And so we all got there, and we were singing this Brahms piece. And we were, I hate to say it, but we were probably South Dakota Hicks, right? It was in a different language, and we were struggling with the language, and it was Brahms, and we wanted, you know, it wasn't exactly a high school piece. But suddenly, one time when we were practicing, it was only a weekend that we were practicing to get ready for the concert, but about the fourth time that we sang it, the conductor, who was just so good, he got down on the floor and he just laid there while we sang. And there was something about him getting low, right, with us and just listening from the ground that just kind of stirred all of our hearts. And he wasn't conducting it. We were just singing. And it was like we were all one. And then we got to the concert, and we were so excited about singing this piece, but we were nervous, and we were wondering what in the world was this guy going to do, and you know what he did in the middle of the concert? He got down and laid down on the ground, and we sang to him, and he sang with us. It was such a collaboration, and I thought to myself, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to collaborate. He got low enough. He wasn't the expert anymore. He was just one of us, and we were singing with him. That, my friends, is collaboration. And how do we do that? And I want you to wrestle with that a little bit. I mean, think about your own self. Are you a star performer? It's a hard one to say, but I am. Cindy and I are both star performers. We peck at each other all the time. No, we don't. But we have that, right? So star performer. If you're defensive and you get defensive, I want you to look at that because it becomes a hindrance in the Holy Spirit. It's something that prevents the Holy Spirit from really working. And all the people said.